Perhaps I could draw your attention to one particular word. We'll begin in Second Thessalonians, chapter 1. Second Thessalonians, chapter 1 and verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity every one of you all towards each other abounds. In the second chapter, and verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation, to sanctification of the Spirit, and belief of the truth. John's epistle, the first epistle of John. Verse chapter 3, verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And chapter 4, and verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 14, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. And there's one verse in the 7th chapter of Luke's Gospel. Verse 41. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 50 pence, the one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. This little verse in 2 Thessalonians caused us to look up in the dictionary. Not that I know anything about Greek, but I can use an ordinary English dictionary. And I find that when the apostle wrote and he said, we are bound to give thanks, it's exactly the same word as we read in the other three portions. In John's epistle, he says, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. He goes on to say we ought to love one another. And in John 13, the Lord Jesus said, we ought to wash one another's feet. And this is the same word as we find in Luke chapter 7. One owed 500, the other 50. In no way are these three, four things which we have read tonight an optional extra. This is something which every believer on the Lord Jesus must do. We must wash one another's feet. We must lay down our lives for the brethren. We must love one another, and we must give thanks. And you know, if in the scriptures there is anything given for us to do, if there is any moral feature that we are to follow, I'm sure that you will all agree with me that first of all, we see that imperfection in our Lord Jesus himself. We were reading locally in the Ephesians chapter 4. We came to the verse, in all lowliness and meekness, in long suffering, forbearing one another. You know, dear beloved brethren, if we want to see an example of meekness and lowliness and long suffering, we need to look no further than Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. As that man moved through this scene in absolute perfection to his God and Father, he displayed every feature and every character that you and I are called upon to display. And in this account in John 13, we all know the story very, very well. Very often we, rightly so, apply this story not in its literal sense, and we are perfectly true, because the Lord Jesus said to Peter, what thou doest, thou shalt know hereafter. And so it is quite clear from that verse that this incident has a spiritual application. And that is what we ought to do one another. And what is this spiritual application? You know, brethren, before we look at the spiritual application, I want to say literally, the Lord Jesus washed the disciples' feet. What a tremendous mark of his humility. Not only had he come down from the heights of glory into this scene, but here in this verse, if we love the little expression, he took a towel and he girded himself. In absolute humility, he took those feet of those disciples. And not trying to be funny, they weren't nice looking feet. They were rough feet. Feet that spent many a day fishing. One occasion we read that they were naked. And these were rough feet. And yet the wonderful fact is that the Lord took those feet and he washed them. He removed that which they had picked up. That dirt which is picked up as they had moved through this scene. But not only did he remove the dirt, with the towel, he gave them comfort. You know, as we, through this scene, as we see saints of God and as we see in our own assemblies, can each not one of us wash one another's feet? When we see that brother or that sister who is doing something which is contrary to the scriptures, it is our instinct to go to them and to tell them that what they're doing is wrong. But you know, the Lord Jesus, he took water and he put it into a basin. That which would speak of the word of God. And it's the application of the word of God that has the effect of cleansing from the defilement that is picked up by the way. And not only do we find that the Lord Jesus washed the feet, but as we said, he gave that towel, and that towel gave them comfort. And how many of our saints, not only do they need the application of the word of God on our lives, and we all need it. I myself need it. As we move through this scene, we pick up ideas, we pick up thoughts that need the word of God to remove that and put us on the right footing. But you know, each one of us need the towel to be encouraged. The Apostle Paul, when he, I believe he was writing to Philemon, he speaks of refreshing my bowels. He speaks of being encouraged. You know, if the Apostle Paul needed to be encouraged, how much each one of us needs a word of encouragement. You know, I think there's a wonderful example of our blessed Lord when he was washing feet in the 24th chapter of Luke's Gospel. We know the story. There were two on the way to Emmaus, and they were going away from Jerusalem. They left that little company, and they were going back to their own home. And it says of them, they were sad. And the reason why they were sad was their thoughts were on this earth. He said, we thought he had been he who would have redeemed Israel. You know, the Lord Jesus came alongside them. Now, I remember our dear brother Edwin saying to me one day, it wasn't the fact that the Lord came to them and told them how wrong they were in leaving Jerusalem. It wasn't the fact that the Lord told them their disobedience. It was the fact that turned them back was that he spoke to them things concerning himself. And if there is to be restoration in our lives, it is only as the word of God is applied to us. And it's the things concerning the Lord Jesus that will turn us back. You know those two, when they heard that word from the Lord, they said, didn't our heart burn within us? There was that which was sprung up in their hearts, and they turned them round, and they went back to Jerusalem. What a wonderful example we have, dear friends, tonight, of obeying what the Lord has said, to wash one another's feet. And it may not be always the easy things to say. It may be a brother who is doing something that is not particularly, which is against the word of God. And yet we don't want to say anything to that brother because we might not be so well liked. And there's so many difficulties. There's so many problems. If I speak to that brother, you know, the Lord said we ought to wash their feet. We ought to apply the word of God to them. And then we come to that wonderful verse in the second, in John's first epistle, where John says we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. You know, there's much work that we can do. There's much work that's been done in this assembly in order that we may be here and enjoying this conference. What a wonderful thing it is that that is the obedience to that verse, laying down our lives for the brethren. You know, in this scene in which we live, I think I can say without any doubt that the one thing that the Father loves, the one thing that the Father cares for, the one thing that the Lord Jesus gave himself for is the church. It is the body. It is you and I, dear beloved brethren. And that is what we are called upon to lay down our lives for. Are we not following an example of our blessed Lord Jesus, who came into this scene and gave himself for us? The Apostle Paul got to know this when he said, the Son of God who loved me, and he gave himself for me. And if we really appreciate the fact that the Lord Jesus has given himself for us, I'm sure it will be much more easy to lay down our lives for the brethren, to be here, to serve the saints, and to encourage the Lord's people, because they're precious to our Lord. And then we come to that little verse, we ought to love one another. You know, there's a verse I notice in John 13. The Lord Jesus says in verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another. As far as I see, there are three marks of a disciple in John's Gospel. In chapter 8, if we continue in his word, we shall be his disciples indeed. Here, it's a question of loving one another, and the evidence will be that we are his disciples. And in John 15, if we abide in him, we will bring forth much fruit. Hence, we shall be his disciples. You know, brethren, I think that we would have to say that perhaps the first instruction of abiding in his word, to a large extent, we've abided by. We've got the word of God before us tonight. We've much ministry, and we've abided by the word. But when it comes to this verse, how much failure has come in amongst us as brethren, because we've not loved one another. You know, if we don't love one another, there will not be that fruit that we read of in chapter 15. And here the Lord Jesus says, our new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. And I know that practically, being straight, some people are difficult to love. But I'm jolly glad that the Lord loved difficult people. Because if the Lord hadn't loved difficult people, he wouldn't have loved me. But the Lord loved each one of us. And there's a verse in Matthew I think it's in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus speaks and he says, if ye love them that love ye, what thank of ye? Do not even the Pharisees the same? And here the Lord calls us to love one another. Each one, though, that brother, that sister that annoys us, that person that we never get on with, yet here is the instruction from the Lord. We ought to love one another. And it is, as I have loved you. What a high standard that we are told to follow. You know, we may think that it is impossible for us to follow this standard, but I believe that there is the possibility that each one of us here tonight can love in the same way as the Lord Jesus loved one another. And so there is another thing that we ought to do. We ought to love one another. And then we come into Thessalonians. And you know, we ought to give thanks. And here the apostle says, I'm bound to give thanks. Why? To give thanks for the saints. Now often do we in our prayer meetings, we pray for such and such a brother, rightly so, that he's laid aside. But how very few times do we pray and do we thank the Lord for those servants, for those brothers, those sisters that are in the assembly. And this is a vital thing that we ought to give thanks for the brethren. Each one of us, as we look around and we see the day approaching when we will be taken out of this scene to be with our Lord. What a wonderful thing it is that we have with us those brethren that are like-minded, that have a love for the Lord Jesus. And not only do I narrow ourselves down to the companies that we're associated with, what a joy it is when we are traveling and we meet those that likewise have a love for the Lord. We can give thanks that we are not the only ones that are on our way to glory, but there's a vast company for the honor and glory of Christ, and shouldn't we not give thanks for them? You know, there is other things very mundane that I think we ought to give thanks for, and sometimes it becomes a mere tradition that before we have our meals, we give thanks for the food. You remember the Apostle Paul when he was on the ship in Acts 27, and he told them to take meat, and it says he gave thanks in the presence of them all. Again, we think of our Lord when he took those 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He looked up to heaven and gave thanks. And on a very practical thing, we ought to give thanks that we have food. Although in this land we've had much food, and there seemed never to be a shortage, the time could come, you know, beloved brethren, when there will be a shortage of these materials that we take so much for granted. And as mentioned this afternoon, in that day which we spoke about, they will say, give us this day our daily bread. Indeed, in that day, they will be very thankful for their food. But perhaps the supreme place that we should give thanks is we should give thanks to the Father. Again, we see a great example with our Lord Jesus. Is it in Luke chapter 10, when those cities of Chorazin and Bethsaida had spoken against him, where he could say, if the works are done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes. When all around things seem to be falling down and things to be against him, the Lord Jesus could say, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. He was the one in control of everything. You know, beloved, we ought to thank God for what he has done for us. As we've been thinking of in our Bible readings, the wonderful things which are going to happen to this world in which we form part of today, when the Antichrist and the beast comes on the scene, and when there is tremendous persecution to the saints then, what a privilege it is to be part of that company that will be with Christ. And how we should thank God, how we should thank the Lord that we have been born in that age and we have been converted, that he saved us and he won us for himself, that we should be here for his glory through all eternity. We've got much to thank the Lord for. just these simple little thoughts. It's not something which we can do if we like. It is vital. If we are to be here for the Lord Jesus, we ought to wash one another's feet. In other words, we ought to care. We ought to have a genuine care, like the apostle said in relation to Peter. I have no one who will genuinely care for you, and our care should be genuinely for the brethren. And if we really have that love that the Lord had for the brethren, we would want to lay down our lives for him, for the brethren, for him, of course, ultimately. But we also would be a company that is marked by giving thanks.